Hello and welcome to another episode of the Africa Biotech Conversations podcast. I am your host, Adrienne Lusa, and today we have guests from BioCity in Cape Town, South Africa. My guests today are Mr. Deepak Maharaj and Dr. Anesu Conrad Moyo. They will be talking to us about everything that BioCity does and how they can facilitate the establishment of more startups, biotech startups on the African continent. Thank you so much, Deepak and Anesu, for joining us today.
Adrian. It's really a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you, Adrian, for having us on board. It's an honor.
It's a pleasure to. To start, I'm going to introduce our guests. So, Mr. Deepak Maharaj, he plays the role of Executive Cluster Head of BioCity Labs, which is a specialized biotechnology business incubator and shared laboratory. He is a science and engineering specialist with over 25 years experience in implementation of large projects, being involved in developing concepts at lab scale and transferring these to pilot and commercial skills. He has served previously as a leader of many high performance and highly skilled teams of scientists and engineers, delivering on multiple projects funded by both private and public sectors, for example, at the CSIR and MINTEC here in South Africa. He is a registered professional natural scientist and holds a Master of Science in Engineering, as well as an MBA from the Gordon Institute of Business Science. Deepak has led numerous projects during his career, some of which included the implementation of the biomanufacturing hub at the CSIR. And in this project, he oversaw procurement, installation, and commissioning of a state-of-the-art biotechnology facility. He has further led the development of an agri-park at Idutiwa in the Eastern Cape. He also has been involved in the development of aquaculture biocontrol agents for the production of ornament koi, epoxide hydrolase enzymes, beta carotene from algae, amongst other projects. And what is remarkable is that these products have been successfully transferred to commercial partners and are being sold in the open market. He also drove the bioenergy focus areas at the CSIR and has led bioenergy projects in biodiesel, biogas, and bioethanol production, and served as vice chairman on the board of MMI Biodiesel Incubator. He's not only a leader, a business leader, but he's also a published author of over 15 scientific papers and book chapters, and has presented at numerous conferences. He supervises master's students as well as numerous BTEC and national diploma students. His passion is around developing people and has a track record of facilitating human-centered design through project implementation. This is so refreshing to know that at the helm of BioCity Labs is someone so well accomplished with so much under his belt in terms of a track record. Dr. Anesu Conrad Moyo joined the BioCity team in September 2019 as laboratory manager, where he is responsible, amongst other things, for the smooth running of the laboratory, ensuring that scientists accessing the BioCity labs are well taken care of. Now, he holds a PhD in biotechnology himself from the University of Western Cape here in South Africa, and a master's in applied biotechnology and microbiology studies at the National University of Science and Technology in Zimbabwe, where he started his career as a laboratory manager. He also managed laboratories at the Institute for Microbial Biotechnology and Metagenomics while conducting his PhD. And his research was on the application of pigmented halophilic bacteria for the treatment of desalination brine effluent generated from mine wastewater. In 2018, Anesu was one of the winners of the One Bio Student Entrepreneurship Competition for his concept on the production of high-value carotenoids from desalination brine effluent, which solidified his passion for bio-entrepreneurship. And I just want to take a moment to say the One Bio leadership team was one of the guests on this podcast. And it's so great to see the impact of their work, that one of their fellows has now a role in also building up the biotech ecosystem here in South Africa and expanding across Africa. Welcome, gentlemen, once again, and thank you for your time. It's so good to see BioCity is in such great hands. I would like to start by finding out from you, how did BioCity Labs start off? What is the history behind BioCity Labs?
Interestingly, you mentioned One Bio.
Sure, so Deepak.
Actually, the history of BioCity starts with them. It was Nick and Mike that looked to partner with City. City is an associated company of BioCity. And City is also the oldest tech incubator on the continent. So it was through that interaction that BioCity Labs was created. And it was between a joint want to create a biotech future for South Africa, that One Bio and City then came up with the concept of BioCity Labs, which at that time was actually called One Bio Labs. And this was in 2019, where it was essentially only a business incubator at that point in time. However, in 2020, the lab was installed, and the shared model, or the open access lab option, was brought to the fore. This has been the game changer, in our opinion, for the biotech ecosystem, as it's the first open access lab on the African continent. You do get these open access labs in Europe and the United States, but in South Africa, it's the first, and on the African continent, it's the first. In 2021, we had realized that we had outgrown our initial lab space, and we moved up to larger labs, just one floor up from where we were. And we've now realized that we're growing so rapidly that we're probably going to need to expand even further. That said, BioCity will now be moving to bigger, better premises on the 1st of June, where we would aim to expand our labs even further, and also add additional equipment that can help entrepreneurs navigate to the next level of their business. And Anesu has been with BioCity since its inception. So I'm going to leave him to add.
Right. So just to add on to what Deepak has said, and he said it so eloquently, is the fact that BioCity was born out of frustration, if I may put it across that way, because we were getting a lot of, you know, graduates coming out, and they did not know what they were supposed to do afterwards, either an academic career or this option of being an entrepreneur. And we all know that, of course, the cost of equipment and setting up a lab is astronomical. So that frustration made the One Bio team, you know, come together with City and set up this place that we have.
It's quite an interesting concept, and I do recognize that it fulfills a major need, right? Because obviously setting up a biotech lab is very costly, and, you know, taking that off the hands of prospective entrepreneurs is such a big, huge step, taking off that bottleneck to start something new. I'm curious, with that being said, what do you think is driving the growth? Because you've already mentioned outgrowing your first space, outgrowing the second space. Now you're moving to some larger space and requiring more sophisticated infrastructure. Can you pinpoint what is driving this growth? And are we talking about growth of particular sectors, or is it the interest, the affluence of biotech startups in South Africa?
So maybe to take that from a scientific point of view, What's driving the growth is the amount of innovation that is coming out of all these graduates that are coming out of university. Like I said in my previous point, that it's always a struggle for these guys to find out what they want to do. But now when we are realizing that, hey, I can start a company, I have this innovation that I need to put through, where can I go? Oh yes, there's this place by a city that I want to go. So having said that, we're getting a lot of inquiries. We're seeing that there's a need for us to expand and try and cater as much for these guys as we possibly can.
So maybe to add a bit on that one.
That is so good to know.
So,
yes,
yeah, Deepak? So, I would point it to two particular things that probably drives it. You know, the South African biotech sector has been nascent and emerging for a while. But we've seen after COVID, and this is not a South African phenomenon, it's a global phenomenon. A lot of biotech businesses are streamlining and moving forward. So there's more interest in setting up biotech businesses. So we're seeing that growth, and it's also because of the vaccine development in the Western Cape, a lot of businesses are using that as a springboard for emerging into the biotech sector. So that's one. The growth that we see from a perspective of startups and entrepreneurs wanting to access our labs is largely linked to the fact that it's an open access lab, and you know, we do not take equity, nor do we look to take any of the intellectual property. And this is something that business or entrepreneurial scientists or startups have a problem with the national system of innovation, because as you rightfully pointed out, a lab costs a lot of money. And a startup cannot afford to go and build their own lab. And if they go to a university, then they need to look at sharing the intellectual property, or contract research organizations are going to charge them substantial amounts of money to do the research on their behalf. Now, the BioCity model makes it easier for these entrepreneurs to pay a rental access to our lab, and they have full access to all the equipment and have the freedom to develop and refine their products and concepts in their own time frame. So I think that need or that gap in the market as people become more aware of what BioCity offers, they are creating a bigger need for this area. And that's why we get constant requests for people that are looking to access our labs.
And also, of course, for the business development services that we also offer to, you know, these entrepreneurs coming up to, you know, take residence with us as well.
I wanted to follow up on what you were saying, Deepak. How do you actually operate? What is it that you do? What is it that an entrepreneur may be coming up with an idea and wanting to make use of your services? What is it that they can expect from you guys in terms of support and infrastructure?
So you know, the infrastructure details about all the equipment that we have, I'm not going to go through in detail, but it's available on our website. So you could go through and see exactly what it is. But but essentially, when an entrepreneur or a scientist needs to access our lab, they basically get full access to all the equipment. And we have Anesu and his team of interns that are there to support them, which basically ensures that they maintain the equipment, provide the scientists with some guidance on how to operate the equipment, as well as Anesu gets involved from a scientific. So that allows the scientists to have a full support of a brilliant biotech team, and they have access to the likes of Anesu, myself, to, you know, to brainstorm ideas around how they want to do product development or process design, etc. So it brings them into an ecosystem that has other scientists that are actively working in the lab. So it allows for peer-to-peer mentoring. It allows for a team to engage with different skill set that sit in an environment that they ideally would not find if they're trying to do this in their own lab, for example. So I'll give you an example. We have Mzansi Meats, which you very well know, as well as De Novo Dairy, who are in two of many tenants that we have. But if, for example, there's a new entry into the lab, he now has the opportunity to engage with them, to learn from them how to navigate certain business challenges. Also, from a technical perspective, brainstorm ideas. And this is what that ecosystem or this cluster that we're trying to create. And we believe that there has been areas that has been put forward, for example, Michael Porter's cluster theory, that lauds these type of interventions as the key to stimulating a new economic sector. So we're trying to stimulate the bioeconomy, and these types of engagements, having people work together, is what helps stimulate this engagement. That's from a technical perspective, where we have that availability from a lab point of view. But as a business incubator, mm-hmm. we provide guidance with regards to business, mm-hmm. how to develop business plans. We provide mentorship in finances. We provide mentorship in business. And oftentimes, you know, it's a scientist that is taking an idea to the market, and they don't have the full arsenal of business as well as certain aspects of technical skills. Mm-hmm. And that's where BioCity comes in, and we access through our vast network of scientists, business practitioners, financial mentors, etc., to provide and tailor the specific needs to an entrepreneur to fill the gaps that he might have in his arsenal that will help translate their business into a commercial mm-hmm. reality. So I don't, Nesu, maybe you want to just add a bit more on the lab interventions that we do and how a business benefits from those as well.
Mm-hmm.
So again, like Deepak has already, you know, reiterated the fact that it's an open lab space, which encourages people to, you know, bounce off ideas or troubleshooting. That's from a technical perspective. I think what we've seen, or what I've seen in my time working with these guys, is that that actually opens up a whole lot of, you know, synergistic working together, because like you said, with the examples that we have in Sansimit and Denova Dairy, they are actually constantly, you know, troubleshooting, bouncing ideas together, which is something encouraging to see. And in addition to that, I don't know whether it would fit in, but we've also started, you know, some contractual research that we also find is also of benefit again to the open source kind of lab, because you also have those other people that do not have the scientific technical, you know how, but do have an idea that they can contract the research to us as well.
Oh, wow. I think that's really great to hear that you have that ability to also have contract work done on behalf of other people. And just to check in as well, on the scientific team, do you have internship opportunities for graduates who are curious about this sort of space? How do you get, you know, the support staffing done? Is that something that you can discuss?
It's something that we can discuss. I think Deepak did allude to the fact that currently we do have interns working with us. So we have the HSRC, we get our interns from there as well, and then we also have working students that are looking for internships. And what we generally look for is for somebody who is keen to learn, somebody who has a love for the space, and we can at least guide them from people that have been there, mm-hmm. who've been in the space, and also try to show them that there's always an option aside from, you know, the academic side.
To add on that, yeah.
Yes,
so, you know, our team is small. It's a lean team, but highly efficient. And as mm-hmm. our mm-hmm. team grows, it's all dependent on funding. So as we grow with regards to our income sources and our support for what we do, because we are a non-profit company and we're driven by, you know, stimulating the bioeconomy. So as we secure additional funding, we grow the team as there's a need. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the potential for growth in this area and the potential for growth at BioCity is significant. So mm-hmm. what's the space in the next few months? I anticipate that we're going to grow significantly, even outside of the Western Cape. My aims are to grow open access labs outside of the province, as well as into the African continent. And hopefully there we will have significant opportunities for you know, thriving scientists or scientists that have an interest in this space to be able to locate with us.
That sounds really great. I also anticipate that just with this model, there's just fantastic opportunities out there. So tell me a little bit about, you know, you've mentioned two of your tenants, Denova Dairy and Zanzi Meat. What are some of the criteria that you use to select a tenant or to have a tenant join? Is it a financial decision? Does the business or the idea need to be at a certain level of innovation? What are some of the things that help you decide? Because I believe that once the word is out, you have a flood of requests, and obviously you limit it, right? So what determines who joins BioCity Labs?
Typically, you know, we want to make sure that the concept that you have has some real merit, And it's not, you know, a pie-in-the-sky idea that hasn't been researched sufficiently to test the market. So the key things that I look for is, one is where the technology or the idea is placed with regards to the technology readiness level ladder. And ideally, we want this at a TRL level of post 3. And that meaning that the concept has been demonstrated at some stage. The other thing that I look for is, have you identified the market? Is there a real need? Mm-hmm. And these are the two key things that for me dictates whether there's the business has a potential for success. Those are what I look at as my determining factors to bring them in. Other than that, we take in wide ranges of businesses because they need the inputs, they need the assistance to take them forward. So if you've got a concept that is suitably demonstrated and there's a market that you've identified for it, then you're a fit founder.
Awesome. Anesu, on your side, on a technical basis, is there anything that you require technically from your tenant, or are you willing to handhold anyone to the stage where you you know they're ready to put the product out there?
I always welcome people who at least have a little bit of, you know, lab acumen and lab, you know, etiquette. But what we generally do as BioCT, especially when we're taking on board tenants who want to use our lab, is that we always look at the workflow. And we match it to the equipment complement that we have, because obviously we're not a fully, you know, kitted out lab to cater for all the biotechnology innovations that are there. That being said, it doesn't mean that we limit them. If their workflow can get to a certain stage with us, we take them there. And when we get to that stage where, of course, we cannot cater for them, we also put them in contact with some of our other labs that we work with. So, for instance, university labs that would be willing to take up the research, or any other private labs that we work with.
Okay. So I know we've talked about what you require to get them in through the door. At what stage do they exit? What is the end of your contract? What does it look like?
It varies. But ideally, we wanna exit them at TRL level 7 or 8, where they've suitably scaled, they've secured funding, and they're ready to build their own business, and they've entered the market. However, you know, in science, in business, not everything works in a straight line. So oftentimes a business idea that was lucrative turns cold, and then, you know, if the business has not succeeded to the level, then we exit them earlier. But ideally, we want to exit these businesses and graduate them from the program when they've made sufficient progress and they no longer need BioCity to hold their hand, so to say. Where we've introduced them sufficiently to our networks, they've developed their own networks, they've developed their own funding networks, and the next stage is now to go out there and create their business with a little help from BioCity. So essentially, we keep a thriving alumni. So they still, any business that has exited BioCity still has full access to us if the need arises.
Okay, awesome. And then one more question around this is, if someone is really in a niche area, specialized area, and maybe you don't yet have the equipment or the technology available, how do you navigate that? Are you open to them bringing in the technology? Do you have mechanisms of searching for, you know, funding appropriately to bring in that technology and training? What does that look like? Because I know biotech is always evolving, right? There's always new technology. And as long as the interest is there and people have ideas, there might be a need to bring that in just at a point where you also have a prospective tenant.
So that's the model we employ now, even with our existing tenants, in that, you know, if we don't have specific pieces of equipment, for example, that is needed for their work, where we can secure funding to go and get it, we go and do that and we bring in the equipment. Mm-hmm. Or we welcome them purchasing the equipment themselves and placing it in our labs. And we have various models. In fact, existing, there are some of the businesses that have brought niche pieces of equipment that they need specifically. And we allow them to place that in our labs as well. But we also have the option where we work together with some of our incubators and tenants to go and find funding together. Or we jointly buy to equip our labs. And then as these businesses exit, they have the option to take over some of the equipment that they have jointly gotten into a relationship with us to acquire. So as I say, it's a truly open innovation type model. We open to assist in various ways. And, you know, we exist to make sure that businesses can transition the so-called chasms of product development and the business cycle. So be very flexible. The other aspect that we see is emerging as from a needs perspective is that larger businesses, SMMEs and maybe even medium-sized businesses, have a need to access a lab, but they don't need to have their own lab. And this shared model also works perfectly for them because they now have a partner in research and development without having to outlay that large amount of cost. Because not all businesses need to have their own R&D facility, but they do need access to it on an open basis. And this is how BioCity is making an impact to not only startups and entrepreneurs, but across the entire length and breadth of the biotech ecosystem.
Yeah, you touched on something really very important there. And I don't want to even open that can of worms right now. Sure. It's the R&D space for established businesses. There's a big need for that and it's not happening. And so it's good to know and for people to know that you are available to assist bridge that gap that really exists and that you have the expertise, the technology to help in that sense. Deepak, from your background and Esu, from yours as well, You alongside scientists, engineers, and bio-entrepreneurs, what are some of the skills that you can recommend that folks that want to take on bio-entrepreneurship should, you know, focus on developing and really excelling at to be successful at
now,
it?
I'm gonna let Anesu jump in now, but I just want to give my thoughts on this very quickly. So for me, the most important thing is less a skill, but it's more a personality trait. I believe that anybody that is going to thrive in a biotech environment needs to have a want to make a real difference. And that's independent of any financial benefit. You want to make a change with a particular product or service that you want to put forward. And if you have that as a real passion, the rest of the skill sets are all enablers. And then talking about those enablers, I think it's one, having a good understanding of the business landscape and understanding what is needed to transition scientific concepts to business realities. And this doesn't have to be through formal education. Even from a science, you know, we've had entrepreneurs work in the science field, but they're not scientists. But they have a passion for something and they have a knowledge and they're self-taught to a certain extent. So for me, it's having a technical mindset as well as a business focus is key traits for success in this area. So if anybody thinks that, you know, I cannot be a biotech entrepreneur because I don't have a master's or a PhD, that's completely incorrect. I cannot be a business person because I don't have a business qualification. That isn't correct. As long as you have a gap in the market that you've identified and the will to navigate all the hurdles that's going to come through with it, you will be a success. And that's where, you know, BioCity helps harness those key areas of skills that you have from a business perspective and help build so that you can get your product into the market and be successful at it.
Yeah. And maybe to bolt on to what Deepak has said in terms of the skills, I mean, from, you know, as a scientist, one has to be willing to learn, to be flexible enough to change from their rigid ways. You also have to have networking skills because you need to speak to a lot of people to try and find that funding, to try and find what's happening in the space, to try and find out whether your product or innovation has a market. So for me, those are the two key, you know, skill sets that one would need, especially if you're a scientist or, especially if you're a scientist coming into the bio-entrepreneurship landscape.
That's very true. And I also want to just, you know, stress the point that Deepak made, that you don't need to look at those limitations that generally we'll think of. I'm a scientist, I don't have a business degree, or I didn't study business at school, or I'm a business person and I don't have, you know, a scientific, you know, background, or even if I'm a scientist, but I don't have like advanced degree or training in science, that I can't start a biotech company, because there are structures, there is a whole ecosystem that is going to support you, like BioCity Labs, like One Bio. There's a lot of support that not yet at its peak, but that is building, that is coming up to support bioentrepreneurs in Africa particularly. And so if you have an idea, if you have something that, you know, you're really keen on seeing and that it's not there, you know, don't push it over. Take the lead and be the one that starts that journey. And then you find people like Deepak, like Anesu, that will be able to cheer you on and give you all the support that you need, the lab space, the networks, help you find funding if that's the need to get to where, you know, your product is over there in the market. Thank you guys so much for information shared. I'm curious as well. You must be keen, and I'm sure you follow biotech, you know, being enablers in the ecosystem. What are some of the trends that you are seeing coming up in biotech in South Africa or in Africa that we should, you know, keep tabs on, so to speak?
Top of the list for me
for, say, the next 5 years,
you know, vaccine development and manufacturing. That is the buzz right now. There's also, you know, development of new therapeutics in terms of, you know, antibacterial resistance that is coming through. And of course, I think what I'm trying to say is that health tech, health biotechnology is on top of the list at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to, you know, focus on. COVID has taught us that, you know, if we work together and we work fast enough, we can get a cure out in amazing time and, you know, beat whatever pandemic that is threatening us.
To add there, what we've seen, you know, through the requests that we get, there's a big emergence on sustainable foods. And as you know, we have two of these businesses that uses biotech to develop future foods. In addition to those two, we know that various venture capitalists that specialize in investments in this particular area, and they're making a number of investments in South Africa and in the African continent. So there's definitely an emerging trend in that type of biotechnology. And then we also get, you know, a large number of requests for sustainability-linked biotechnology projects and businesses linked to, you know, the green energy, the bioenergy space. So those are areas that are emerging. Mm-hmm. The more high-tech stuff is using, you know, AI-related initiatives to help streamline product development. So using big data and artificial intelligence to help refine drug development, for example. So these are areas that are on the rise.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And a final question directed to you, Deepak, is given that BioCity is, you know, one of the enablers within the ecosystem and that you collaborate with other stakeholders in the ecosystem to facilitate, you know, business success, what sort of specialties within the ecosystem do you think are still missing or still need to get up to par to enable a real growth, you know, of biotech companies in Africa or in South Africa?
I think one of the biggest gaps in South Africa's ecosystem around biotech is funding. As you know, One Bio is probably the only biotech specialized fund. But there's also, you know, regulatory hurdles or barriers to entry that need to be removed. Then, you know, so you've got the venture capital fund that we talk about in the biotech space. What I've learned over the years is that South Africa as a whole, the business sector as well as the government sector, when it comes to investments, are very risk averse. And I think for us to realize our dream of being a thriving bioeconomy, some of our government institutions need to take a little bit more risk with regards to investment in these emerging areas. So, you know, that is for me the one aspect. I think a big gap that was there, we as BioCity are now fulfilling, is making available open access labs so, you know, ideas can be developed further. We need to also look at, you know, scalability. So that is something that BioCity is working on, providing sufficient scale within our environment so that businesses can do that level of scale development and process development within the similar model that BioCity has. There's, depending on the aspects of biotechnology, technology that businesses are working in, contract manufacturing facilities. Because businesses that have a concept, that have a product, but are still emerging, don't have the funds to build their own facility. There's a gap in facilities that can do that on a contract basis for them as they build their business model and secure funding to build their own. So I think that's just a few from the top of my head. But as you say, there's quite a few that we could probably bring to the fore.
And I would definitely take you on that invitation to talk about that sometime. I hope you don't mind. Because there are a lot of people who even have the will or who are, you know, getting more and more interested in biotech, especially with the pandemic, but that don't really know how can I get in there? I'm not a scientist. What can I do? And you've highlighted a few things that I think folks can start thinking about and talking about and seeing how to support the growth of this sector, which is very, very important for all of us in Africa to keep us well-fed, healthy, and, you know, doing great things for the future. Thank you so much, Anesu. Thank you so much, Deepak, for your time and for all the knowledge shared and for all that BioCity Labs is doing to sustain and to boost the bioeconomy in Africa. And I hope to hear more about expanding out of the Western Cape and out of South Africa. I really look forward
to
that.
Thanks so much, Adrian.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure. And this was another episode of the Africa Biotech Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Adrian Losa. I hope you subscribe to the podcast and I hope you recommend this really special episode to someone in your network. Thank you so much and stay tuned for another episode. Bye.